There are three passable reasons for the mitzvah of tochacha, of rebuking somebody who's doing an avera, or who did an avera, who is about to do an avera. The first passable reason is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates when there are fewer averos done in the world, and he's not happy when there are more averos done in the world. And therefore, a person who fulfills the mitzvah of tochacha is attempting, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to minimize the number of averos that are done in the world. The second possible purpose of mitzvah tochacha is for one's fellow man, one's fellow Jew, one's fellow citizen of the world, that even aside from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates when fewer averos are performed, but we feel a caring, a feeling of responsibility for our fellow men. We realize that if they do averos, they're causing their spirituality, their neshamos, to deteriorate. And therefore, out of our obligation, our concern for them, we're obligated to give them tochacha, we're obligated to give them rebuke in order to save them from the harmful consequences of their avera. Much in the same way that if a person were to be smoking, we would be obligated to give them rebuke because of the harmful consequences to their lungs. If they're about to perform an avera, so we should give them rebuke because of the harmful consequences to their neshama. And these two reasons for tochacha for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tochacha for the sake of our fellow man, are largely overlapping. The goal is to minimize the incidence of averos that are performed in the world. However, there's a third reason for mitzvah tochacha as well. And this reason does not overlap with the first two. And that is that one possible reason for tochacha is for ourselves. When we witness an act of an avera being performed, the very sight of such an act can have a negative consequence on our own spiritual growth. If we observe such an act and don't respond, so we're inculcating ourselves with apathy, which is the first step in the deterioration of values, or of interest in standing up for values. And therefore, the mitzvah tochacha would be classified as a selfish mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for ourselves in order to ensure that we don't fall from whatever level we're holding at by witnessing or observing an avera and neglecting to respond. There are a number of nafkaminas that emerge in halacha depending on which reason you ascribe to the mitzvah of tochacha. The Gemara in Arachin brings a machlokes about the scope of mitzvah tochacha. Is one exempt from tochacha once it becomes clear that he will not succeed in deterring his companion from performing an avera? Or is one obligated in tochacha in spite of his certainty that the tochacha will not be successful to deter the ma'aseh avera? So this would depend. if the entire purpose of tochacha is to minimize the incidence of ma'ase aveira in the world, so then one who is absolutely certain that his tochacha will not be accepted would be exempt from performing this mitzvah. In contrast, if the purpose of tochacha is to ensure that we ourselves remain steadfast in our values and that we don't become cooled off by the observance, by watching too many ma'ase aveira and remaining silent, then there will be no limit, there will be no end to the mitzvah of tochacha. We will be obligated to rebuke our fellow men, even if it was clear to us that our rebuke would be unsuccessful. A possible corollary of this is the form that mitzvahs tochacha were to take. Although the pasuk says, "Hocheach tochiach es amisecha, v'lo sisa alav chet," we should give rebuke to our fellow man, but we should be careful not to incur transgression in our own right during the process of issuing that rebuke. A broad interpretation of this would mean, be careful to rebuke our fellow man in a way that doesn't pain him, that doesn't cause him to turn on us with scorn and derision. We should rebuke him in a way that will lead him to accept rebuke. That obviously works much better if we believe that rebuke is for the purpose, for his own sake, in order to minimize his performance of aveiros. If, on the other hand, we were to view rebuke, if we were to view tochacha as something which is purely for the good of the mochiach, it's to prevent the spiritual deterioration of the onlooker, or perhaps of other onlookers, but not necessarily to prevent the deterioration of the sinner, so then this, the structure, the form that tochacha takes would be very different. If the purpose of tochacha is to prevent our own deterioration as a result of observing ma'ase aveira, or to prevent the deterioration of other onlookers who possibly could be negatively influenced by seeing this ma'ase aveira, we would have to interpret lo tisa alav chet in a much more narrow sense. Obviously, it would still demand of us that we be sensitive of the sinner's feelings, but that demand would not be that we should be so sensitive. No, we shouldn't be so sensitive and make our top priority ensuring the sinner's continued good or neutral feelings towards observance, but rather our goal would be to ensure that the detrimental impact of this sin being seen is contained as much as possible, with the proviso that we don't hurt the feelings of the sinner too much in the process. But the sinner's feelings are not the primary objective according to this view of tochacha. They're rather something that we have to be careful not to injure in the course of pursuing a higher goal. So far, two nafkaminas. Number one, is there any need for tochacha when tochacha will certainly not succeed? Number two, to what extent should our concern for the sinner's feelings dictate the form that our tochacha takes. And without going on, obviously, the totality of mitzvah's tochacha is a synthesis of these four reasons: tochacha for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of the sinner, for the sake of ourselves, and for the sake of other onlookers. And the precise balance which is reached between the four is reflected in the different resolutions given by Rishonim to the stiros between those circumstances, or those ma'amari chazal, which indicate that tochacha should be given in a more limited set of circumstances, namely a set of circumstances where it's likely to succeed in deterring the avarian from performing his avera, and those other ma'amari chazal which suggest that tochacha should be given under a much broader range of circumstances, even circumstances where it will not succeed in deterring the avarian from performing his avera. The resolution between those two conflicting ma'amari chazal will reflect or guide us to how chazal apportioned the significance of each of these four motivations which underlie the mitzvah of tochacha. But this relates anecdotally to a number of stories, can help shed light on the conduct of both Noach in his generation and of a number of people whom we otherwise perhaps would classify as Kanaim in our generation. The Gemara talks about how Noach would give tochacha to his generation, and it wasn't necessarily a tochacha which was so efficacious. In the end of the day, so the Dor HaMabul persisted in their immoral conduct despite Noach's threats of annihilation of the world should their conduct proceed. And if one looks at Noach's tochacha, one might be struck by the fact that it didn't seem so efficacious at convincing them to cease their course of action. And one might say even further that it didn't really seem all that designed to convince them to abandon their course of action. And the reason for that might be because Noach wasn't really aiming primarily to convince them to abandon their evil ways. He may have simply been aiming to ensure that he and his children would not be influenced to follow in their footsteps, that he and his children would retain their purity in the face of the depravity surrounding them. And therefore, the primary form that his tochacha took was a reminder to himself, perhaps, even more than to his generation, that the consequence of their sins would be destruction and annihilation. And in our generation also, I was recently reading the biography of Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman Wolfer, the Boss, where it seemed that Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman Zatzal had a similar take on tochacha as Noach did. He would go and give tochacha to various people, to various communities, and when he would return, he would tell his family, "I don't know that this is going to help, but at least when I come up to Shemayim, they won't have anything against me. They'll be able to acknowledge that I performed the actions that were incumbent upon me." And that was his goal in tochacha, that in Shemayim, they shouldn't have claims against him, they shouldn't think that he was wanting in his duty. And while this is not totally to the exclusion of the altruistic form of tochacha, Because Chazal say that we can never with full confidence state that our tochacha will surely not be accepted. And we have an obligation to give tochacha even to the point of where people ridicule us, simply to ensure that all opportunities are taken to discourage others from performing Maisa Aveira. But the idea of performing tochacha so that in Shemayim they won't have a taina on me would seem to be more affiliated, seem to dovetail better with the view of tochacha, that it's to prevent negative spiritual impact on ourselves. And we see many times that tochacha sometimes is given in a manner which is almost provocative towards the sinner. And it may behoove us to understand that under these circumstances, those who are giving tochacha are probably doing it motivated much more by a desire to prevent a negative impact to themselves and to the onlookers who are affiliated with them than by a desire to prevent the sinner from performing future Aviros.